views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And what a happy day it is for a lot of folks out there that are home and not traveling today. If you're living in the Pacific Northwest, especially in Washington State, we have gotten a few inches of snow. I'm not sure what Benny got, but Mr. B, how much did you get down there south of me?
About the same, 4 to 5 inches, and just make sure everyone's being careful out there. If you need to get out, then go ahead, but don't.
don't.
Yeah, be safe. Yeah, be safe. Stay home.
We got about 7 or 8 inches in Bothell, and quite interesting here. Of course, I love the snow, and so I agree with I totally agree with Benny about this. Please, everybody, just be safe. One of the things I love about this is it was kind of a mystical day, too. Many of you plugged into the Super Bowl. And so, I don't know, Benny, any surprises for you?
No. Everyone over here on the West Coast really could care less. I'm sorry, it's true. No one really. I watched it for the commercials, and I went to halftime, and then I ended up seeing the Puppy Bowl, so it's all fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? Oh, that is so funny. But one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was it was a little bit of a nail biter, I would say, for many people that thought at some point in time, right, that there was going to be a glimmer of hope. Just a little bit of glimmer of hope for what the heck would happen other than the Patriots winning. But guess what? That's not the way it turned out. But in the end, you know, you're seeing a changing of the guard. And I love that because this is what we're talking about today. You know, there is a changing of the guard in a sense. And what I mean by that, there is a different energy about it, which is, where are we in terms of what we're hanging on to, what we believe in, and what it is we want to create in this world? And many of us, if you think about it, how are we holding on to this idea of presence, of energy, this idea of power, of essence, of the divine feminine? How are we holding on to this idea of strength, especially when we're looking at the divine feminine? You know, the Dalai Lama came out, like, I don't know, was it about 5 years ago, Benny, when he was in Seattle, and he came out here and he said, here's the deal, everybody. Just want to say, women over here in the West, they are going to rule the world. Now, he didn't quite say it like that. I think that was Beyonce. But he said something like, it is this leadership. But the question is why? Dr. Ann Kate Sullivan is going to tell us why. Because as the author of Heroines of Erelon and Legends of the Grail, her studies, her life, and what she's looking at captures the essence of the energy that is being brought forth now. Now, here's the question. For sure, this energy isn't something that is brand new. it is an energy that is probably as ancient as we can remember. But what is it about the time and what is it about the books that she's written that taps in to something that I think goes beyond spirituality? For those of you that are listening to the show and you're wondering, you know, who is this amazing author and what she has done? Well, she is somebody that has studied, that has written, and is bringing a new story to the forefront for us. So we're looking at some of these writings, these collections, to inspire and empower, as we have in the past, because the art of storytelling is alive and well. We're seeing it everywhere. But today, get ready for a new perspective. And it's great to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Look, I think the Dalai Lama was on to something, and I certainly didn't quote him very well. But basically what he is saying is there's a rise in a new energy, and that rise in the new energy has women of the West focused in the middle of it, right?
Yeah.
And because they are focused in the middle of it, he has an expectation for the women in the West. From your perspective and these two books that we're talking about today, what do you think he was thinking about?
Well, what I heard from the Dalai Lama, it was very beautiful, is that he feels the next Buddha will be a woman. And I did also hear him say that the women of the Western world will probably be the ones that save the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. So, I mean, we can start today. We're living in a time of extreme climate change, and we might start by just asking, do you know how we can start healing the world right now?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, and that's really what we're talking about, because the world is of needing a healing, right? Would you say?
So it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a Grail tradition. The way that you start your quest, the way that you start your healing, is you have to ask the right questions, right? And so in these books, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, if we're beginning our quest, the hero has been in charge for quite a long time. And the mm-hmm. hero goes out and he's brave and he, you know, he sometimes messes up. Sometimes he's like Brady and he's untouchable. He's like Apollo. But what we've forgotten about are the Grail heroines and the Grail maidens. Now, these are applicable for our time, because in the ancient, ancient days, a Grail knight would quest to these wells and to these springs, and they mm-hmm. would look inside. So at that point, you're entering your in world, which is what we do in psychology. We're going yeah. into our dream world. We look within and we start to ask the questions that begin to heal our soul. And the first part is we recognize our woundedness. We recognize that the world's a wasteland. And so that is the beginning of an amazing journey. How do I heal? How does the world heal? And when you gaze in, what happens in a lot of the old stories is that the hideous damsel or one of the goddesses comes out of the well, if you're lucky, and they help you on your quest. So, I mean, we can think about it today. You have snow up in Washington. We have floods here. We're in the beginning of this, you know, the Aquarian Age. And if you think about the Aquarian Age, we have a woman who's got a water jug on her shoulder. That's her image. And so what happened in the story of the wasteland in the old Grail tradition is that there was a boy named Balin, and he wanted power above all else and followed the parallels with what's happening in the world today. So there was this guy who really, you know, he wanted power, he wanted fame, he wanted fortune, and he didn't really have wisdom. He hadn't done his Grail quest. He hadn't found his wholeness. He just starts leading with a sword, and he creates a lot of problems. He beheads his brother. He hurts some of the other princes and kings, and he comes across the Fisher King and accidentally stabs him through the thigh or groin mm-hmm. or genitals. And immediately the world goes into despair.
Right.
There's another character named A Man Gone, which is interesting if you think about the name. A Man Gone. He's mm-hmm. not here. A man that's not here. Goes to the well, but doesn't look into the well. He's not asking questions. He grabs the goddess and he rapes her. And then all of his men go to the wells and they grab the Grail maidens and they rape them. And the way that the Grail maidens respond to this is by disappearing. Mm-hmm. So now you're really in this earth where the storms are crazy. It's either drying up or burning, or there are floods, or people are dying in snowstorms. And we look around today and we go, well, my goodness, this is what's going on. So the way that we begin to heal the earth is we go back to our well, our in-world, and we start to ask what we need to do for our own healing. How do we bring out our Grail heroine, our Grail maiden? And that's true for men and women. It's not just women.
No, it's not. It's not. And I think that's worth talking about for a minute and taking a moment just to reflect upon that. Because so often we have conversations as if there is an isolated scenario that's going on that is, I don't know, what should I say? Basically about women, women, women. As a matter of fact, it's really interesting. I had somebody make a comment not too long ago about, you know, is everything about women? It was kind of the comment, right? And the question really is, the energy of it, just like in your books, The Heroines of Avalon, I love this. I love what you've written here, because I'm going through this and I'm thinking to myself, and I want to talk with you about it when we come back. I'm thinking, in modern day time, who are the heroines that seem to be popping up? I got to say popping up. I know that's not very journalistic or it's not very sexy, but popping up, and I love that term right now. And the reason, Anne, that I love that is the most unlikely characters seem to be making a difference that's starting to create a buzz. And is that the energy? Is that the energy that you talk about in the books? First of all, is it the energy that when we think about honoring the goddess Elen, or the goddess, other goddesses in nature, or the mystery, or blessings from the trees, and the song of Hazel, all of these things you've written about, when I think about them and I step back from them, the question that comes to all of us that are touched by this energy is this: what is ours to do today? I don't write like Anne, but if I did, I'd be writing these books. When we come back, we're going to talk about these and much more. And what is it about the Celtic anything right now, including the music that is catching everybody by storm? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Was wondering about your mama. Did she get the job she wanted?
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Today we're focusing on mythology and folklore for the modern age, best-selling author Ann Kate Sullivan joining me here today. And the reason I love this and talking about it is because so often we find that whether you're looking at the Grail and you've heard that term Grail before, or you've looked at and heard the term Avalon, one of the things that we now know is that there is an essence and an energy in the heroine's journey. And the question that has come up, and I wonder what Carl Jung would say to this, or maybe Joseph Campbell, the question that comes up is really this one, you know, is the heroine and the hero different? Are they different? Are we seeing it played out in, first of all, our pop culture, secondly, our politics, and third, in the storytelling? I got to tell you what Anne has done in writing these two books, and of course, pretty much anything that Anne writes, is really tap into the beauty and the power of an essence that is in the world today and has been in the world for thousands of years. And thank you. Before we kind of jump back into this, I mean, there's a million directions I could go. There's so much to cover in what you've done here. How can people find out more about you? Let's make sure folks can get copies of the book and also to find out more about you.
Oh, it's easy. You can go on to my website, AnnKateSullivan.com. And my first name is A-Y-N, which is a little different, AnnKateSullivan.com. All my books are there. You can get Legends of the Grail and Heroines of Avalon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, just about any place. So they're available.
Okay. We were talking during the break, and I'm really struck by our pop culture, but I'm also struck by the fact that there is such ancient energy that is being repeated in the current time we live in. Now, let me just mention a few things, and then I want you to jump to some of the folks you talk about and you write about in the book. We're seeing energies from women that are coming to the forefront, and they're different, right, than we've ever seen before. Of course, the headlines, Ocasio-Cortez from the Bronx, District 14, I went to PS 14, I totally get that energy, but that's not the only one. You know, a Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar, and I'm talking about political figures right now. However, in our own backyard, one of our own hosts, Mona Das, ran for election and won. What is this energy, not just in the United States, but worldwide? How do you depict this energy in reference to the heroines and the legends that you've just written about?
You know, I went on this quest a long time ago. I started like 35 years ago going to these ancient wells and sites and so forth, because I felt in my own journey that something was missing. What took me on the journey was really suffering. I felt that something in my own soul had been taken away. And then when I started going to places like Avalon, which is a place in Glastonbury, you can go and sit by the Chalice Well. I had an experience in meditation of meeting the Dark Mother, or my inner goddess, my inner feminine. And a huge transformation and healing took place within my own psyche and my own soul. And that's what really set me on the quest to understand what the difference is between the hero's journey and the heroine's journey. You know, a hero you can see in, look at this great show right now we have called The Last Kingdom with Uhtred. Uhtred is my first cousin 25 times removed. And the first castle I went to in England to explore was Bamburgh Castle. So, of course, I love this show. So there's the hero's journey that Uhtred's on, you know, where he's being tested, but he's really stepping into who he is. And then there's the heroine's journey, which is not as well known. I mean, like Carl Jung would probably say, you know, we all have an anima animus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the woman might actually seek the anima. She might seek the hero, and a man might actually seek the goddess of sovereignty. But basically, when it boils down to it, if we're going to be whole human beings, whether we're male or female, doesn't matter. We need to find all of these archetypes within our own being. So the women that are coming forward today, these incredibly powerful women that are coming forward to save the planet, we'll just say that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. No, the feminine has an innate understanding of the earth. She doesn't transcend. And that's why I really love the Druid traditions, where they move back into harmony with the land. They listen to they stand at the edge of the sea, and they walk through the other worlds into Tirnabhan or Tirnanog, or they stand on a mountain and they enter the portals of the sky, where they can listen to their guides and know how the earth unfolds. They go into the earth at, say, maybe winter solstice, or also there's some other traditions like Samhain, where you go in, you crawl into a cave and you listen with your body on the ground in the darkness. You listen to the dreams of the earth and how she's unfolding. So the people that possess that, whether you've actually crawled into a cave and done that, or you just in your own psyche have healed enough, you understand the feminine principle, understand life and how life unfolds. It takes care of all things. So
I want to ask you about that one point.
Yes.
I love what you just said. And I would hate to blow by this, so I want to take a moment to explore this with you. Takes care of all things. See, yeah. That right there is iconic to me. Takes care of all things. How often do we look at, you know, the divine feminine, whoever that represents, as the one who takes care of all things? I don't know about you, but I know, like in our family, my mom was the taking care of all things. She was that chick. You know what I mean? It wasn't much that got by her. And, you know, I'm talking about a woman that had her first child at 12 and her second one at 13. And so I think about that, and I think about today, and I think about the boldness by which men and women are being asked to stand up. Are we, in essence, trying to remember the heroines and the legends that you write about? Because what I'm really struck by is how we have it inside of us. Mm-hmm. But I think it went to sleep.
It did.
Okay.
It did. I mean, when I But it is also waking up. And I can actually really say that, because when I first started going and collecting these stories, and I went to each place and stood on the place, meditated in the place, communed with the goddess, the energy of the land, the goddess of sovereignty of that area. And they, you know, in the old days, they were still there, but they were sort of sleeping. It was like the dragons were asleep. Now, when I go back, when I went back in, I usually go every year. Now, when you go back, Glastonbury is packed. You've got a goddess temple that's packed full of women. You have Stonehenge that you can hardly get to. I mean, when I was first there, you could go sit on the stones. And now it's surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of people every day. You go all along the western coast to Tintagel and all these different places. This is in Britain. And you go to these old places in Wales. There are people there. There are people there who are listening, and the places have come back to life. So it's, I don't think it's an imaginary thing. I believe that we know that the earth is in trouble, and the earth, of course, our bodies have come out of the earth. So it means that we're in trouble too. And we understand that we need to go back to our roots. And, you know, in my books, I give these examples of how the Druids would, let's say, for instance, would go into an oak tree. So Druid means people of the oak. And they would walk through an oak tree, and they would go into the roots of the earth to contact the ancestors. Now, in the Druid tradition, what's really beautiful about entering the realm, we might think of it as scary or hell or entering the world of the dead. They didn't really think about it that way. They were going to commune with their ancestors, the people that loved them into existence, and the people to which they would return when this phase was over. So they had no fear of death. They just knew they were here to do a journey, and they would return back to the earth. They were very connected in that, in the way that the indigenous people are. They knew how to dream with the earth. And you could also go up into the upper branches of the tree and connect to the sky and the star beings again. And so I think a lot of people, whether they know it consciously or not, are going to the ancient places because they want that sense of wholeness and connection. Usually it's suffering that will take you to the place. Something in you is broken, or you're unhappy in some way, or you might just feel a dis-ease. Something's wrong. Something feels chaotic. And you return to these places, and if you're lucky, and if you really sit and the goddess of sovereignty touches you, you might feel bliss and you might feel joy, which is our natural state.
One of the things that I wanted to really run by you and talk about when we come back from break is I think I'm really struck by, as I read through the book and I read through, you know, the different heroines and some of the other tales and other things you've written, what I'm really struck by is the repetitive nature of a call to action. And what I mean by that, repetitive nature of a call to action, meaning that there have been stories and storytelling that we've done, which is storytelling that metaphorically or maybe symbolically, there's a message. But what I'm really struck by in the book is how absolute clarity is brought to the forefront about an action, an act, or a yielding of an act. And I want to talk with you about that when we come back. You know, as we look at legends, as we look at the Celtic goddesses, as we look at the heroines of Avalon, was it from the very onset, Anne, was the mission to establish an action that creates a new narrative for whatever that is that they're challenged and conquered? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of them, what they bring to the surface, what we learn from them, and how absolutely aligned their actions are with the time we live in. Let's take a short break, everyone. We'll be right back.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
How often do you find yourself wondering, why me? Learn a new shift in perspective to see how everything that takes place in your life is actually working for you and shifting you towards your own enlightenment. Tune in to Blank Enlightenment Radio with Misty Thompson each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit MistyMThompson.com. That's MistyMThompson.com.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Dr. Ann Kate Sullivan is in the house. And love these books. First off, thank you. I want to ask you again, please tell folks how they can find out more about you, how they can get a copy of the book.
Yes, you can go onto my website, which is annkatesullivan.com. A-Y-N is my first name, annkatesullivan.com. Or you can get Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses, and Heroines of Avalon and Other Tales from Barnes & Noble, from Amazon, just about any place. So I hope you enjoy the tales.
Okay. I'm finding some bold energies now. Can I tell you a little bit about them? I want to get back to the question here.
Yeah.
Bold energies. Everything from some of our new hosts starting that are like, I need to blow the doors off of something and get the truth out there. Mike Murphy, for example, starts his show with us this week, and it's called Mike Murphy Unfiltered. See that energy of that. And yet I know about Mike and what he's written about and the loss he's had and the love he has for his wife who passed away. Yet at the same time, I'm also struck by the fact that call to action. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the two books I have in front of me, Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic God, and Heroines of Avalon, it appears to me that there is action that is being demanded across the board here. Now, I don't know if I'm making stuff up in my own mind or if that's reality. Tell me, is that a common thread? And this is the thing for me now. Is it really an energy that's being called forth so that more women in today's day and age take a bold action?
Well, if we think for a moment about Eve, if we think about her metaphorically as the mother of the earth who experienced a fall and led the fall, we would say that these stories here are Eve retelling her story. And the thing is, in this case, she's being bold enough to tell her story completely differently. You know, you can tell a story any way you want to, And what's happened with these stories is almost all of them, almost all the characters were goddesses or heroines who were demonized, with maybe the exception of Dindrana. They were almost all demonized, especially, I think you read the story of Bluedwith and or Bluediwith. So Bluediwith, let's just go for her, because she's one of the darkest, most maligned characters, and she appears in Heroines of Avalon and other tales. So if we look at Erinrud, who is an ancient goddess who knew how to sing to the stars, bring the earth, bring the energies to the earth, and help flowers blossom. Now, she's in a sort of in a different story. She's tricked into giving birth to two children. One's named Lu, and she curses him by saying he'll never, ever be able to marry a woman born of a woman. So they in the story of Bluediwith, what happens is she's conjured by magic to be the wife of Lu. And in this story, she's only designed for this one thing, just to be this woman. And he makes love to her for about 7 years, gets bored, goes off to war. And while he's off, she doesn't know what to do. So that what I loved about retelling her story from her perspective is you have this woman who's really pretty bored in her house, and she's not really interested in cleaning. She doesn't really like houses. She actually likes to be out in the flowers. That's where she really is, a flower who's taken on human form. And then this guy comes along. This is a little more Game of Thrones. You know, this guy comes along, and he's kind of good looking, and he kind of grabs her, and she winds up falling in love with this other guy. Now, because of this, she's considered an adulteress, and is sort of heralded as the worst of the adulteresses. And she also gives the secret away of how her husband can be taken out. Now, in her world, from a flower perspective, well, flowers die, they go back into the ground, and they come back again in the spring. So she's not worried about that. So we get to enter the world of the goddess and realize that that in this realm, it's a fairy realm, and you realize that their thinking process is really different. So we're not talking about people who are immoral in any way. We're talking about people who see things differently. And I think throughout all of the stories here, you get to understand why they acted or behaved in the way that they did. So in her case, Erinrud gives her the chance to choose again. And what she chooses, she chooses forgiveness, but she also chooses to walk back into the other world, to leave this world where there's damnation and judgment, too many rules and regulations. She frees herself. So.
Wow. Look, sometimes it's hard to make sense and describe the energy of what we're sensing now in the world, right? It's hard to describe it. And, you know, we're looking across the board and we're looking at the way that this energy is coming out. Let's call it, whether it be the divine feminine or not. If we talk about the divine feminine, I think the mistake we make sometimes is that we think that that means women. Clearly today, you and I are talking about that. But we are also looking at a contribution made by men in the way that we blend and integrate this energy. A friend of mine said to me the other day, in the time we live in, it's not a time for blending, it's a time for bending. Now, I have yet to find out what that means, but as I read your book, these are women that bend. They bend the rules, they bend the norm, they bend the steel blade, they bend the spoon, right? They're bending. And so I want to ask you about that. There's a new idea about a superhuman nature, and we are clearly expecting women to carry that forward, yes or no?
Well, yes. I think Western women probably can save the world, but only if the men come and support them. You know, one thing that I really love about the Celtic tradition, it's not that women are better and men are worse. It's really they each have their role. And so in that tradition, the masculine is the protector and the feminine is the creator. The thing is, in the Celtic world too, if a woman might ride into battle with her husband and fight with a sword, as we see in The Last Kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a man might be called forward to, like, maybe a Percival to heal the wounded king. So they definitely blend. But the most important thing in Grail tradition is that the masculine feminine energies need to be together. Like, we have I'm working on Kings and Heroes right now too. So the wounded, you know, the healing of the wounded king is also very important for the healing of the land. The land can't be restored if the king is wounded. Now, the one that can come and heal him can be another male, or it can be the goddess of sovereignty in her appearance. And if you look at Legends of the Grail, stories of Celtic goddesses, they're wonderful characters, like Skyach, who's the goddess of the Isle of Skye. And if a man wants to be a true hero, he doesn't fight the other heroes. He goes to Skyach, and he has to jump across a 22-foot ravine. And he makes it, because he can see the skulls below, the ones who tried and missed, right? But if he makes it and he lands, there's Skyach, beautiful. She might be beautiful. She might be a hag. You never know how she's going to appear. She's waiting for him with a dagger, and she's reading his future. And she's either going to kill him or sleep with him or turn into a hero or all of the above, right? So she's quite a character. So if, like in Cuchulainn's case, he's supposed to become a hero, he's going to imbue her magic. She's going to give him initiation so he understands the feminine traditions and embodies them. So at that point, he becomes whole, and Cuchulainn rides out as the most powerful of all the Ulster, of all the Irish heroes of the time. And it's because his male and female energies are balanced.
So what I love about this, and I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and Benny, let's skip this next break. In my lifetime, you know, I'm a girl. I grew up from the Bronx. And so my introduction to what you and I are talking about today comes from a childhood where I was fascinated by, let's just call it, the weird and the bizarre. Let's just say that. You know, everything from comic books that I immerse myself in to movies that were on the edge. I didn't grow up where childhood fairy tale stories, nobody read those to us, right? And so here we are today. I resonate with a certain kind of iconic figure energy. Which of what you study and read about and can talk to in these books, is there one that you could point to? I know I'm putting you on the spot with this, Anne. Is there one that you could point to that would represent the leadership that's required in the United States in this day and age?
Wonderful question.
I know.
I absolutely love it. And one of the main reasons I love it is because I would say my namesake. She's a goddess, and her name is Anya. And so that's my name, Anne, comes from that. Sometimes she's known as Anne. She becomes Saint Anne in Christianity. But the old goddess Anya, and if you take her to the very beginning, is Anu, and she's sort of Eve. She's like the beginning feminine mother archetype of the earth. And what's wonderful about Anya is that she does not need anyone to help her understand who she is and she or how she's supposed to shine her light. So she's known as a goddess of light, a goddess of brilliancy. If you look around most cultures, there's not a goddess of fire. I mean, you can see it in Bridget a little bit, but usually they're moon goddesses, so they reflect the light of the masculine. But in Anya's case, no, she's a solar goddess. She reflects her own light. So she's all about brilliancy. In the ancient days, I don't know if it still happens, but in the old days, at summer solstice, the people would go up to the top of they're called the Paps of Anu in the south of Ireland. They would go up and they would light her nipples. They were these stones at the top, and they were like these bonfires, and they were lighting her nipples. And the idea is that we want her here with us. We want the light of the feminine. We want the wisdom that understands how life works. We want to work with that. We want to protect our children. We want to look after the elderly. We want to make sure everyone's experiencing abundance. There's something wrong if somebody in the tribe is experiencing soul loss, lack, illness, poverty. There's something wrong. It needs to be addressed. So I would say a lot of the leaders that are coming forward these days have that quality of Anya, the solar goddess, the independent one who shines.
Well, and you know, this is really part of this as we look at what this is moving forward and what we're calling to action. I'm also struck by a new energy, and I'd love to ask you this question. I don't know exactly the word for it. Maybe, you know, some people are calling it an energy of truth. I'm not quite there. It's not quite that energy for me. Truth-telling, maybe not. There's something else. It's more like the unveiling or unmasking of secrets. And what do I mean by that? So we're starting to see things, for example, in this country, the latest about the governor in Virginia, information that is now coming to the forefront. That is so pivotal, yet on the one hand, it's hard for us to look at it and say, oh my God, that's horrible. On the other hand, it's calling us to look at it. What is that energy? And is that the energy that follows the legends of the Grail?
It absolutely is. If you think about the Grail champions for a minute, so there are actually five, if you include Dindrana. And when you go out to find the Grail, and we have to, a Grail isn't a cup. It's not an object.
Right.
You can say it's a cup, you can say it's a womb. You know, some people say it's the womb of Mary or the cup that the blood of Christ was in. It's a healing cup, but it's, you know, there are ancient traditions where you have these healing cups, but it's not really about that because we're working in the world of archetype. And we have to realize when we work in the world of archetype, that these are stories, some of these stories have been around for 10,000 years. They're much older than we are, and they're huge energies. When you go on the quest for the Grail, you have to follow your truth. It's truth that guides you. And if you come to the Grail and you don't ask the right questions and you're not standing in your complete authenticity and truth, you get blinded by the Grail. You get backwards, or the spinning castle disappears. So truth is very pivotal, and I do believe that's what's happening in this time. If you're getting close, if we are doing what a lot of people think, and we're getting ready to walk into a golden age, which I believe, I think we can really turn this thing around and walk into a golden age. But I think in order to do it, we need our feminine roots. We need to be authentic completely, body, mind, and spirit. Earth matters. So when we walk to the Grail and we're walking towards with truth, we're asking, who am I really? The veils that are not who we are, the cloaks of bigotry and judgment and, you know, things that really don't serve us anymore, they fall away. And we're standing in the bright light of truth. And from that moment, you heal. Everything heals. Everything starts its healing journey at that place. You know, it's a lovely thing.
One of the things that we hear a lot about is healing. We hear a lot about healing.
Yeah.
There's a call for healing.
Yeah.
And, what I'm really struck by is a call for healing. But I'm not quite sure that the wounding is done. And what I mean by that, and I would like to talk to you a little bit more about that, is that I don't think the upheaval that the universe is calling forth is quite done. Now, that doesn't mean we can't simultaneously heal, right? But I think that there is something else coming. And when I read about what you've written in the book, I don't know enough detail to know. But in most of these, there was a storm before the calm, right? Mm-hmm. What is your sense of that now? And I'm not talking about a devastation. I'm not really talking about, an upheaval, an earthquake, a meteor hitting the earth. More like Camelot. More like all of a sudden there was Arthur and then there was betrayal. Do you see what I mean? That energy?
Yes, yes. Well, you never know if you're, I mean, Camelot is really the vision of a unified field, right? So you have your 150 knights with their ladies around a circle that was created by Merlin, which is the earth. So they were holding this, a beautiful energy of peace and in some cases the Christos or the Christ, and in some cases the goddess or both. The Grail myth represents, it's really a Gnostic tradition. By that I mean it's direct knowing. And so I think that's one reason it's the predominant myth in Western civilization. We all know these myths. They're in our psyche. So we all want Camelot, all of us. Unless you're too wounded to understand goodness, which is possible, we want to come together at the round table and see all things thrive. Now, the problems that we encounter is that if there's a wounded king or a wounded damsel inside of ourselves, and we're sitting at the round table and someone speaks to us, that wound can get reactivated, and then suddenly somebody whips out their sword and you're in a battle. That's why the healing really has to take place inside, because you need to be at a place, someone says something to you that your inner demon really doesn't come out and create another war. So we can, everyone on earth is not healed. This is the problem, right? We haven't all found our grail. And so the story goes on. The battles continue. The woundedness goes on. The thing that we can do is, I don't know. I mean, I would wish, but I don't think any of us necessarily one person can save the earth. I think it's really something that can happen collectively. The one thing that we can do is we can heal ourselves. We can notice. We can do. I've got a lot of exercises in the books actually, where you can go and you can really establish your connection to your own brilliancy, where you can trust your own intuition. You learn to walk on the earth with confidence, and you standing in the right place at the right time. You don't walk into, hopefully, if you're really, you're not going to walk into a difficult situation. If there is an earthquake coming, you won't be there because you'll have followed your guidance. So all of the stories actually are about aligning with your intuition, your guidance, and about becoming the best possible human being that you can be, including all of your elements, not casting out the parts of you that are wounded. All of us have places within us that suffer. I've had experiences that have, broken our hearts. It's just part of being human. But what I love about the stories and all the goddesses that I've encountered is that they've all been broken and they've all healed.
Yes. And, and that's what I love about what you've done and what you've written. It is really the full circle of things in both of these books. And I want to thank you for that, because it truly is what we need to remember. It truly is what we need to bring back, that strength, which is required for the kind of change, positive change. So thank you for that, Anne. Thank you so much. One last question. Please give out the website again. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Well, let me give my website is annkatesullivan.com, A-Y-N, annkatesullivan.com. And the books are Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses, and Heroines of Avalon and Other Tales. So I think one of the biggest themes that runs through all of the stories, because all of these goddesses in these stories, they were all maligned. They were all demonized, mm-hmm. and they have all retold their stories. The biggest thing that we need to do is forgive each other. Mm. They all forgive. Things happened, terrible things happened. And, you know, the way that we release ourselves from suffering and pain is to drop that story and tell a new one.
Wow. Thank you so very, very much. Wow. Everybody, Dr. Ann Kate Sullivan, Heroines of Avalon and Legends of the Grail. And you rock. Thank you. Tides that I tried to swim
against. The preceding audio was via a Skype call.